Hello, ladies and gentlemen, it is Red Teens here, and welcome back to our political podcast. And as you know, we have been increasing our plays over dramatically since February, or more if you would say January, with over 300 plays within a month. That is a really just an enormous goal that I never expected us to make. I'm just saying, because this podcast, it started out with 5 plays in December. Now it has over 300 plays within a month, which is just beyond amazing. And I just, again, thank you guys for the support you guys have given me through this past month. I hope that we can continue to hit more and more milestones as we go, including the 1,000 play mark, which will be I will try to have a more special podcast for that. But as for now, I don't know what that's going to be, but we're going to move back right into the news. And the very first article we are going to get into is from CNN. And CNN states that federal prosecutors Suprema Trump Inaugural Committee sources say federal prosecutors in New York on Monday subpoenaed President Trump's inaugural committee for documents related to donors, vendors, and finances, according to a copy of I've never really seen this word before. I'm just sorry. But back to it. Revealed by CNN. A step that appeals to escalate the office's ongoing investigation into the committee's activity. The wide-ranging subpoena from the Manhattan U.S. Attorney's Office requires the committee to turn over documents related to virtually every donor or donation attendee at the committee event, piece of paperwork related to legal requirements attached to the donations, and even if the possibility of donations were made by foreign nationals. So they're virtually saying, give us any of the papers that are related to any foreign companies, foreign leaders, foreign anything. That's really what this is. And I don't know if this is going to really do anything in the Russian investigation. Like, I just don't think it's going to do much. Maybe it might reveal a little bit of foreigners there, but I don't think it's going to really change, you would say, the political landscape, unless a large piece of evidence or anything like that. Sorry, but a very big piece of evidence comes out about certain donations. But overall, as I said, I don't believe that it's going to change anything at all. And it's just, I don't really know what this means. All I know is that it probably means either turning over documents or giving such to the FBI, like other investigations into other presidents, such as Bill Clinton and some others. But as I've said, I have looked over this a little bit before, and I found that they're really just investigating. There's no, like, real anything. They're just investigating the inaugural group, I guess. But I'm going to continue to update this if it gets any more news other than just the investigation starting. But this, as I said, there is not much to this news article, but we're going to continue to stay on it. But we're going to move on to the very next article. And the next article we're going to go into is a Virginia official part of Northam, who is right now in the blackface or / KKK robe scandal. He has been, in fact, accused of sexual assault. And I think he would actually be the person that would replace Northam if he was either to resign or forced out of office. And so the article states that Northam has been accused by an unknown witness in either his last, you would say, meeting or committee like that, but something like that. And so I'm guessing this is going to be a big thing over the sense of what it's going to do to his candidacy, not his candidacy, but definitely his future in politics. Because if he is found that he, in a sense, sorry, but if he's found that this sexual assault claim is true, then this could prove even more controversial than even Northam's case. Because Northam, yeah, it's a horrible thing that he should have never done if he did it. But the thing is, this is sexual assault, which is more probably emotional and more physical for the woman or male for them. But I cannot actually find the article right now. I kind of was just trying to find if there was anything such as an article related to it, but I cannot find anything like that. So I'm just going to give out what I've heard. What I've heard is that he has been heavily accused. I think he's obviously denied it, but I've not really found any kind of piece of evidence. I think it's more of an accusation right now, not really much of a big claim like Weinstein or anyone like that. And so overall, as I said, this is going to probably change some landscape in the political spectrum, because if he's, again, like his predecessor or more of the governor, if he is resigns and he also is forced out of office, Virginia is going to have a little bit of a chaotic situation like the White House has had since the beginning of the Trump presidency. But again, I've not found that much evidence supporting the claim of the sexual assault other than him being either seen or something like that by the victim or others in eyewitness reports. But it is, as I've said, going to probably change either the political spectrum or maybe damage the credibility of the Virginia government. And the Virginia government is made mostly out of Democrats. So this is the thing about it. Why is it that Democrats, and I'm just saying this, why is it that the Democrats want to attack Republicans with the sense of that they're white rednecks who are the ultimate scum of the earth, that they're the scum of everything? When in real life, they're now having their entire party attacked for anti-Israeli comments, sexual assault, and a racist incident involving one of their government. So it's just overall a horrible situation for the Democrats. At least you would say personally for the Democratic Party. And I think it's going to change some, maybe give some Trump some political points, maybe, or just kind of even out the thinking on the Democratic Party. But overall, again, the article itself, it did not really present much of anything else other than the explanation by the victim and comments by the official. And the official, paraphrasing, said that he heavily denied it, that there was probably no evidence relating to anything like that. But he also does not seem like he's absolutely denying it. But I'm going to continue to investigate it over time and see if it gets any updates in the future. But as you know, there's not really much to both of the stories we've gotten into. And I'm saying, there's never going to be a new full news story which is complete, especially ones that come out just hours before you start like your podcast or your live stream or anything like that. So if you feel annoyed by it, yeah, I feel annoyed, because I definitely like getting news articles that are just complete and so that I can analyze it and explain it out and what it means. But we're going to move on from that to our very next article. And the next article is from, again, CNN. The next Obama, how the former president looms over the 2020 race. And so it states, they've studied the highs and lows of his campaign, there was a lot of lows of his campaign. They've hired some of his former team, elevating young aides who cut their teeth on his race. They've sought advice from him directly, hoping to absorb lessons from the last senator who won an unlikely bid for the presidency. Actually, I looked at the Obama presidency, and it wasn't actually that unlikely. Even though John McCain was a very seasoned Republican and a very seasoned politician, I think Barack Obama was going to win because he was like many other leaders where they spout great things that can be achieved, but never does it. And that's the thing about the Obama presidency that makes it so infamous, is that they tried to put out all of these, like the thing about that makes Obama worse, and I'm just saying that. But Obama tried to put the old-fashioned, I'm going to make all of these at once, and they're all going to be complete during my presidency. Many of them were never complete, or in fact, they turned out to be the opposite of what he said. And so it's like, overall, the thing why Trump can keep his promises make promises kept slogan is because he's actually been keeping his promises. He's not just sitting there on the Oval Office doing nothing and thinking, what can I do to keep myself from getting into any more controversy? Because Barack Obama got into more controversy over time with the Ukrainian incident, with dealings with Russia. And if you want to say, oh, look, Russia, he never dealt with Russia. Yes, he actually did deal with Russia. There was at least one incident where he was dealing with Vladimir Putin in the Syrian incident, where I think he was trying to either put heavier nuclear terms or anything like that on Russia. And so he drove out, I think, either troops or he did nothing during when Russia helped the Syrians gas some of their civilians in a very infamous situation. But overall, President Obama is again, I think President Obama is not going to change the presidential race overall, but I do think that he's going to change the Democratic race itself, because whoever gets Obama's support is going to become a more favorite, especially if Kamala Harris, because Kamala Harris has been recently put in, like, I think the top three, even above Elizabeth Warren, and maybe even Beto O'Rourke, which is definitely a big thing for her. But it's just overall, I've never believed that Obama's support was really going to change. Trump's support probably isn't once he retires from the presidency, either in a year, either in 2 years, or in about 6 years, or more of less than 6 years. So I just don't believe that. And this is also relating to Bill Clinton, too. Bill Clinton has put much support, but some candidates haven't taken it because of Bill Clinton's past of him being an accused rapist, which has been more and more recently confirmed by analysis and FBI investigators. But as you know, the FBI has become more and more corrupt over time since I think it was either the H.W. Bush presidency or even earlier as then or later at the same time. And so it just, this is the reason why people constantly attack Bill Clinton as a rapist and how he was also dealing with certain people. Because Bill Clinton, he doesn't deny it. Well, he does deny it, but he doesn't really show much that could deny it. Hillary Clinton never really she denied Benghazi, but she never proved the point out. Trump denied the tax returns. And yeah, you might say, but he never released his tax returns, even though he said he was going to release it. Well, yes. But Trump, at the same time, is probably going to release his tax returns eventually. And you might say, red teams. That could be like forever. It could be like after his presidency. Yes, you're right about that too. But overall, we don't know. But the thing about the Clintons is they have promised to get back in line. But they haven't. They've been dealing with Russia. They've covered up crime. In fact, this is the thing. Hillary made, you remember the story where Hillary was supposedly denied by the Marines because she was a woman? No, she wasn't. It was because she was physically unfit. She just used that story to try making more women against the Marines and for her to make her seem like she was the person that fought against the patriarchy, when in real life she's just lying. Because it also this relates to her LGBT stance, because she also said before in the 90s that she didn't support gay marriage. And then all of a sudden, during the 2008 election, she's for some reason changed and now supported gay marriage. No, it wasn't because she just had a change. It was because she was using the political ideal of when you see that you don't get as much support for supporting that ideology, you just move on to the next. You move on to the opposite to gain more support. And that in real life is just disgraceful in American politics, because all it's saying is that you can't win without speaking your actual truth. And that's the thing about Trump. He was controversial, but he spoke what he said. He didn't just say, oh, I now completely support the ideology that non-binary exists. Trump has never really commented, but he has not recognized it, even though he has recognized the queer community. I'm not sure on the queer community because I'm not very sure if that's actually really supportable, especially for the drag part. The drag part is definitely something I do not support. I feel like it's pedophilia. Beyond a doubt, but I'm still in the middle on the queer overall. But as again, the entire political spectrum or more political vision from your point and my point of Obama and Clinton, my point is they are corrupt, they are criminals because of certain incidents that happened that are either very suspicious or in fact haven't confirmed, especially for the Clintons themselves. But, as I've said, many of these are not confirmed, but in fact theories. But if you were to say, but Sam, these are theories. They're not confirmed. I look at these theories and I try to see if there's any sort of evidence to it. But again, I'm going to just move on because that was really more of not much of a news story, but more of just for me to tell out there of what criminals the Obamas and Clintons are. They are really criminals. There's no doubt in my mind that they are criminals, and you cannot just say to me that they have not committed anything that was at least suspicious. So we're going to move on to the very next article, but more less than an article, but more of an explanation for a certain topic. This topic is about kind of maybe about Israel. Israel, as you know, has been under siege. They've been under siege by the Hezbollah group or something like that. The group in Gaza. They've been under siege by what? Syria, Iraq, Jordan, Egypt before. And Syria and I mean Israel has continued to somehow survive all of this. And this more relates to certain tensions that have continued to increase over time with the Palestinians. Because the Palestinians, as you know, have continued to attack Israel by saying that they are monsters with their riot police and that they beat them and killed them. Yes, sometimes the police took it too far, as I've said before, on other riot-related incidents. But also, it depends. If you are attacking the police, then they do have the right to defend themselves. They're not just going to stand there and get thrown rocks at them and say, well, if I do anything, I'm going to look like a racist, so I have not do anything. So, Israel itself. Israel was established in, I think, either 1947 or 1948. As I said, it was under siege for many years. It was attacked by Iraq, Jordan, Egypt, and such other countries. Many Israelites were killed outside of Israel, not really Israelites, but more of Jews that were trying to get to Israel were killed before they got there because of the new tension between them. And I think it mostly just comes from the ideology of anti-Semitism. I think that it mostly came from Islam because Islam, as you know, hates most of the religions. And it's just really a sense of, I've never been an anti-Semite. I never in my whole life ever hated Jews. I've made jokes about Jews before, I made jokes about them, but I've never been an anti-Semite. But Islam itself, it is the pure definition of anti-Semite, other than Nazis. Nazis, they're also the pure idol of anti-Semitism to the max. But Islam, as I said, is also probably the second to most, killing, persecuting, and just overall trying to destroy the religion itself. And I have looked up more of the Judaism religion, and I actually have found that they've been persecuted not just since about the 20th century to the 21st. They've been persecuted since before even the Crusades. They've been persecuted since the birth, I think, of Jesus Christ. And so it's just more of, it's like my opinion on the entire situation. The Jews, they've had to deal with persecution for hundreds and maybe even 1,000 years. And then these people are saying, well, we don't like them, so we're just going to annihilate them even more. It's like, come on. Israel has been, what? They've been giving a very small strip of land. This is not like they're the size of America. They're probably one of the top 20 smallest countries in the world because of the size. But countries want to say, it's too much land in the Middle East. We cannot allow this. It's like, what, you want Israel to start conquering you? Because after the Six-Day War in 1967 or 1966, they could have taken over all of your countries. Israel could have been the size of probably half of Europe. They could have been the size of half of Europe. You said they were so powerful and had so many allies that they could have just swept all of the Middle East. Israel could have swept the entire Middle East. And it could have been the opposite. Instead of Israelites and Jews being persecuted, it could have been, in fact, the opposite way. Islam was persecuted, and many of them could be executed, but I find that unlikely due to the religion of Judaism. But it's just overall, this is more than just a say on recent events, because Israel has been getting into some controversial territory, which I even deem a little bit too suspicious or just a little bit too far. But this podcast really is just going to be more of a attack against certain ideologies and a more analysis and what I at least think on certain events that have gone on. Because I do try to put some of this into my content, because I don't want it just to be reading articles and expressing my opinion. I want to really go into different issues and explain and tell what I at least see from what a perspective such as a leftist or a libertarian or a conservative or anything like that, and try to at least show you, the listener, of what I at least see from it. And I'm always said this. I've said this on my podcast many, many times. This podcast is not meant to convert you to my side. It is just meant to show my opinion. It is just meant to show that this entire podcast was meant to show my opinion. It's turned into a much larger than that now. But before, I was in fact playing just to me about more of, you would say, ranting about my opinion on certain events. But I have instead turned into a more, you would say, conservative looking at all points. But that is really what I got to comment on today. So we're going to instead move on to the next article, which comes from Fox News. And as you know, in certain events, and the first event that comes on is, in fact, Trump's State of the Union guest to include bullied student Josh Trump, murdered couple's relatives. Wait, I don't even know really what that title at the end meant. President Trump on Monday unveiled who he's invited as guests to attend the second State of the Union address. The White House invited 13 people who attend the address Tuesday night on Capitol Hill. The invites come from many different backgrounds, including a young boy who shares the same last name as the president. Josh Trump, a sixth grader in Wilmington, Delaware, is scheduled to attend the address. The 11-year-old has been bullied at school because of his name, his mother said. And that, I've seen bullying before about political ideologies, but more often than not, just last names. I used to be called Abernasty. I didn't really care about that. It wasn't really an insult, in my opinion. It was just something like that. But yeah, it also, the boy's school acknowledged that the bullying was an issue and changed his name in their school system to his father's name. And so, yeah, so Trump is inviting him to attend the address because of his last name and probably due to the bullying of it. And I think that this is just the thing. Why? And this is also relating to one of the other podcasts I did before when Cuomo said, oh, the MAGA hat wearing people should be part of a protected class if Trump's saying that so much. This relates to it because people, even not even politically part of the party, are attacked. No one is safe. Even if my name was Trump or like McConnell at the end, I would be attacked for that name. That's how bad the political attacks have become. They've become virtually where if your last name's even related to a leader that you don't support, you could just be attacked all out like you support Trump. But I don't think it's going to really involve much of politics, but more of just giving probably the child, I don't really say, more of just a way out of the school. Because, yeah, I've never suffered bullying in my life. I've never really, or you would say, never had it to my face. I do know that I have been attacked before in school, but I didn't really care for it because I really just said, eh. Whatever. So it also says, among Trump's guests are relatives of a Nevada couple who was killed, allegedly at the hands of an illegal immigrant who was employed as a landscaper. And so that's just pointing to the fact. You have to know who's an illegal immigrant and who's not. Because if you don't know, something like this. And I'm not saying, I've never said that all illegal immigrants are criminals. I have never said that. I've never said that in my life. But I have said that it is more likely that illegal immigrants come from a dangerous background because MS-13 members, they're not going to get into the country legally. They're going to sneak in. Cartels, they're going to sneak in. Other violent groups, they're going to sneak in. So it's just more likely than not, even statistics point to that, that illegal immigrants are more likely to commit crime in either violent or just below violent ways. And also, the victims were Gerald David, 81, Sharon David, 80, were killed on January 16th, and with Your Angel Martinez Guzman, 19, of El Salvador, was charged last week in their deaths. Martinez Guzman is also accused of killing Connie Kutz and Sophia Reckendays earlier. The David's relatives, Deborah Bursell, Heather Armstrong, and Madison Armstrong, were invited to the president's address. And so, I think it's just a great thing by Trump, because he really is, in a sense, trying to give them at least some kind of grief. I don't think Trump is going to really talk about illegal immigration, because I at least don't think he should right now, because in the political climate right now, he shouldn't. But maybe he should talk about the story, if he wants to. I'm not saying that he should. I'm saying on the issue of illegal immigration, he shouldn't. But if he wants to talk about the story itself, he can do that, whatever. But overall, the article states also that the 63-year-old woman's sentence was reversed after reality TV star Kim Kardashian West took her case and met with Trump at the White House to plea for clemency. Alice Johnson, the woman whose life sentence was by Trump in June, is among those set to attend. Johnson promised to Fox News in June that she'd make Trump proud after for a second chance at life. So I'm not sure who she is. I really am not sure who this person is, so I'm not going to really comment on that. But that is really what the rest of the article is. And so, yes, it also states the end. Trump's address is scheduled for Tuesday night at 6 p.m. Eastern time. So I live in California, so this is going to happen at 6. So I might comment on it. I might do it in a later podcast. But I think, yes, I think Trump's guests are going to be a very good group for him instead of just picking aides and like that, because it would make him look like he's trying to brag. Because Trump, even though he could brag in last year's State of the Union, I don't think he should have that much. I think he should have just stayed on this personal stories, that some of the bragging, but at the same time, keep it simple. And so that's going to really end our podcast right there. And I once again just want to say thank you for the support. I just thank you all for the support that you've given me through this last month. I've never expected this podcast to get this big. I've never expected it. I've never been the popular person in the household. I've never been the popular person over town, other than my school, if you would count that. But I'm just astonished. I want to reach, and this is just going to relate to it a little bit, I want to reach the 1,000 goal by about May. That's my plan. I really want to reach the 1,000 goal either by May or April. That is my definite plan. I hope we can reach it. But at the same time, I am thinking that it might take all the way to the summer for us to reach it. But again, I thank you for the large support you've given me for the last 2 months of this political podcast. But as I've always said, thank you for listening. I hope you have a great rest of your day. And I hope you have a great Tuesday in the future.